Hi, I'm Sophia Sheehan of Barring Tea. I'm here today with Miran Yasari, the director of the Sundance drama Shada. I just want to congratulate you. I really loved it. I thought it was such an intimate and touching mother-daughter story.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I know Shada is based on your childhood. How did you decide what you were going to take out, what you were going to fictionalize, and what you were going to spotlight?
Yeah, so it's inspired by my mother and I's experience of living in an Australian women's shelter when I was 5 years old. And, I had very fractured memories of the time being 5 years old and being the situation that it was. So I asked her to write a memoir, and that tracked around 10 years of her life. And she spent around 6 months working on that. And with my guidance, we had a lot of tough conversations over that time. But it was, incredibly important to me to have, her perspective front and center of the film. And so I took that memoir. It was around 50,000 words to Spain, and wrote the first draft. And the first draft was very close to our experience and has a completely different structure to the film that you see now. But over the course of 3 years, it was really about finding the cinematic potential of the narrative beyond our experience. So I would say that it's emotionally true and emotionally autobiographical, but there's a lot of fictional elements that, make it a piece of cinema.
And I noticed the movie takes place in the 90s, but you don't overload it with a lot of 90s nostalgia. You're not playing the top 100 hits. A lot of the clothes seem kind of timeless. Was this intentional to kind of make it seem like it could happen any decade?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm so glad that came across. That was definitely my intention. And, I said it in the 90s because obviously the specificity of that time, the context of the community, like the makeup of the Iranian Australian community at the time really sets the scene, the divisions and this notion of Shada breaking away and, finding freedom. It was more fraught at that time. And so there were more obstacles for her. And also women's shelters only recently, actually since the year, around the 2000s, did they become less communal. And I really wanted to capture this sense of women sharing space together and holding space for each other. And with regards to the 90s element, obviously I'm a 90s kid as well. So Lion King, the music, the fashion, I mean, all of it was really nostalgic for me, and I'm sure for many audiences too. But the thing is that, women escaping domestic violence, it's still a very, very challenging issue all over the world. And I think that that's part of the timelessness of the film, is that we're still facing these issues every single day, no matter where I've screened the film, whether it was in Korea or Switzerland, or Canada. It's something that resonates because it's very real for people.
Yeah, and what's great about this movie, it's obviously the Australian submission for foreign language film, and so it represents, an Australian film, but it's also very representative of Iranian women everywhere. I know in post-production was when the revolutions started going on. How do you feel about representing these two cultures in one movie? Is it a bit daunting?
I mean, in a way it's a privilege because, we're shining a light on Iranian women all over the world, and Shada is just one of millions of women, fighting for freedom and fighting for independence from this patriarchal society. And while we were in post-production, it was right at the beginning, actually, I was having a very hard time recovering from the shoot. I was in a dark place, and actually, my editor and I, she's also an Iranian woman, were working really hard. But it wasn't until the women's revolution started to take shape in Iran that I found the motivation to really, finish the film in the time that we did. It really gave me that courage to, come out of my dark place to finish the film, because it was like I was seeing what women were doing in the streets in my home country, and I was like, what I'm going through is nothing compared to that, and I have agency with this film, and we have to finish it as soon as we can. So, that was kind of the process, and how it linked, and it was kind of phenomenal, the parallels that were happening, like in the scene where she's cutting her hair, and that was a constant motif and visual that we were getting from Iran, in terms of women, taking a stand and, finding agency in how they wanted to present themselves. And, I think that the film, yeah, it speaks to that larger issue, but it's also, as you said, timeless, and hopefully it'll be such in years to come as well.
Right. Yeah, definitely the hair cutting scene for me really kind of jumped out. How long was principal photography, and when did you shoot?
We shot in July, August of last year, 2022, and we had a 6-week shoot, 30-day shoot. And it was very whirlwind and challenging, especially because we were working with a 6-year-old child and the restrictions around working with a child actor. So yeah, that's kind of the timeline.
And I know this is your first feature film. You've done, short films before, but how is this experience different? And also, not only is this your first film, but Cate Blanchett is an executive producer. How does that change things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like I've been working toward this point, my whole career. Like since I was 19, I've been making short films, documentaries, film school, mentorships, you name it. So it's something that I've been working towards. I guess the reason why it was so different is because I didn't anticipate how psychologically and emotionally challenging it would be to tackle this particular film, given it's, inspired by my childhood trauma, and it's, it was very triggering at times. So, I would say that was the biggest challenge for me, and also it was about protecting Selena, who plays Mona, the child actor, from the themes of the film. I took a really maternal role. And those were kind of the main challenges in making my first feature, and having incredible experience behind me in Vincent Sheehan, in Cate Blanchett, in Dirty Films. It was an absolute privilege, and they, them being in my corner and being champions of the film. So and now Sony Pictures Classics, distributing it. It's a wonderful vote of confidence, both in the film, and in its capacity to reach audiences worldwide.
Right, and another thing, you mentioned the young actress, but Zahra Amir Ibrahimi, who recently did Holy Spider and has, all this critical acclaim behind her. How did you convince her to take on the role, and what was it like working with her? She's phenomenal in the movie.
She is. I'm so proud of the work she did. Yeah, I mean, we searched all of Australia for Shada and we couldn't find her. So we started an international search, and Zara actually put down a tape, surprisingly. It was before Holy Spider, before she won Cannes for Best Actress. And as soon as I saw her tape, within like the first 10 seconds, I knew she was Shada. It was just one of those instinctual moments for me. Because she has this incredible duality of vulnerability and strength, and the way that she expresses emotion just through her eyes, and it's just phenomenal how her screen presence just transcends. And yeah, I mean, we from the very first meeting that we had, we had a deep connection, and that just got more and more solidified, as the process went on, and I learned so much from her. She challenged me. I challenged her. We had a very beautiful creative collaboration, and continue to be friends and sisters. And I think that our connection, and also her connection with my mom, who was part of that pre-production process, helping Zara access, whatever questions she needed about the character. It was kind of like a sisterhood making a film.
Wow, that's great to hear. I also don't know if there's any particular films or directors that inspire you in general or the film.
Yeah, I mean, some of the touch points, in the writing process were Asghar Farhadi's films, the moral ambiguity of the way he captures Iranian characters. He always says that there's no good or bad. And I really wanted to emphasize that this is not a black and white situation, that every character, even the father character, who's quote unquote the antagonist, he's a human being, and there's a lot of depth to his point of view as well. And I really didn't want to make something cliche, or so I really took a lot of inspiration from him. In terms of the cinematography and like the female subjectivity of the film, Andrea Arnold's films were a real touch point for me and my cinematographer especially. And yeah, I mean, I would say those were the two main sources, but I love Almodovar, and the way the color that he brings to a situation, and the sisterhood that are cre that's created on screen. I really wanted to capture those things as well in the women's shelter world.
And are there any themes and subject matters that inspire you as a filmmaker?
I would say that, notions of identity, belonging, displacement, but also female empowerment. And yeah, finding light in darkness, these are the kinds of things that I'm drawn to.
And a final question, what do you want audiences to take away from the film when the credits roll?
A sense of hope, and a deeper understanding of women escaping domestic violence and their bravery and courage.
I think that definitely comes across. And speaking of, my mom's not Iranian, but she is an immigrant, and I definitely felt some
Oh, that's fine. Cool.
yeah, definitely.
Oh, I hope that she can see the film when it gets released.
I think she'd really like it. Yeah.
Oh.
I recommended it to her. All
Oh, fantastic.
right. But thank you so much for doing this interview.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thank you.